my spirit flows like a river. He moves. He fills. He satisfies. He refreshes. Allow my spirit to flow through you. Follow him, and he will lead you to my glory. He will take you to the inner chamber of my throne room, where you can have an encounter with my holiness, my virtue, my glory, and my joy. I invite you to come in, for you are my child. Hear my call, hear my cry. Come in to where the Most High is. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Allow God to use you. What if God was to say to you to do something you've never done before? Could you do it? Would you do it? You know? And we have to learn. You know, the Holy Ghost is, you got to think of the Holy Spirit sometimes as a dance partner, right? You say, well, I don't know how to dance. Well, if you let him lead you, he'll show you how, right? And we have to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know, God doesn't make us do anything, right? Did he make you get saved? You know, he didn't force salvation on us, but he offered it, right? And he offered it, you accepted it, and something wonderful happened. Amen? You got born again, you got saved. And the same thing is true in every service. Every service always has a flow. Now, whether that flow is winding or rushing or slow or fast or deep or just powering, there's always a flow. Amen? So I want you to purpose in your heart tonight. Say, I am here, and I'm willing and obedient to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and to get in the flow and to yield completely to him. Amen. Okay. Well, we are continuing with experiencing God's presence. I have over 100 pages of notes. And I have just had so much fun teaching this series. We're going to different places where God's presence manifested in special ways. And therefore, when we find out that place, we always learn something at every place, don't we? And we experience God's presence. God's presence was meant to be experienced, just like a lollipop was meant to be enjoyed. Right? Now, I want you to turn with your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And we are going to visit the place of Samaria. Samaria was a place. Samaria is like Lancaster. You have a city, Lancaster, and you have a county, Lancaster. It speaks of a city and a region. Okay? Samaria was a city and it's a region. Okay? Now, I want you to know something, that back in Acts 1:8, the Bible says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and where? Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay? So Acts chapter 8, and let's look at verse 1. Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution. I'm going to say great persecution against the church. Now, can you imagine if you were living in that day and you were part of a church, there was a great persecution against the church, okay? There was a lot of pressure being put on the church. There was a lot of intimidation and fear being put on the church, okay? Which was where? At Jerusalem, okay? And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of what? Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So they're filling three parts of what they, what God said in Acts 1, 8. Okay? And verse 2, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women committed to them to prison. So just think of it if it was today. And the Apostle Paul was alive and he was in Palmyra, he could go to your house. He could take you out of your house and he could incarcerate you just because you were a believer in Christ. Okay? But guess what? Did you know that God can work in that midst? God is greater than anything that would ever come against you. Okay? God used the persecution to spread his message. All right? Verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? Preaching what? Amen? They went preaching the word. Okay? Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of what? Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. He talked about the anointed one. He talked about he was the Son of God. He talked about how he was the healer. He talked about how he's the Savior. He talked about how he's the only way to heaven. He talked about how he's the soon coming king. He preached Christ. His message was Christ. His audience was Samaria. He went there because he was feeling persecuted and pressured. But as they went, they spread the message like butter on toast. Okay? By the end of this sermon, you're going to be really hungry. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Okay? For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Now here's the kicker right here, verse 8. And there was what? Great joy where? In the city. What kind of joy? Great joy. Everybody say, great joy. Say it like you can feel it in your bones. Great joy. Okay? And this covered the city. Okay? Now, watch this. All right? There was much joy in the city. The New American Standard says this. There was much rejoicing in that city. Okay? The God's Word translation, as a result, the city was extremely happy. It would say extremely happy. Much rejoicing. How much is too much rejoicing? Guess what? There's not a limit. Okay? You can rejoice as much as you want to rejoice. There's no limit to your rejoicing. Okay? There was great joy in that city. Why? Because, number one, there was the message of Christ. Christ was being preached. Jesus. Jesus, the way to heaven. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus. Oh, there's something about that name. Jesus. They preached Christ unto him. He talked about the anointing. He talked about the power of God. He talked about what Christ came to do. He talked about the cross. He talked about what Christ did. He talked about the resurrection. That's all about Christ. Right? Okay? Now, there was miracles, okay? So when you preach Christ, joy is produced. Joy is a byproduct of preaching Christ. When you preach Christ, you can't help but get happy. Amen? Why? Christ is, what kind of news is Christ? Good news. It's good news of great joy. It's the best news. It's wonderful news. Okay? So, he preached Christ. Then, he did miracles. The Bible said, the people took heed when they heard and saw the miracles which he did. Everybody say, he did miracles. Will miracles get you happy? You better believe it. Miracles will, they stimulate your joy. Right? How many has ever had a shower where the water was cold and you didn't realize it? And you stepped into that shower and you went, whoo! Right? Something like that. You went, whoo! You made something like that. Right? That coldness stimulated your body in a way that you didn't expect, and it resulted in a noise and a movement. Okay? Then devils were cast out. Demons were cast out. Woo, you want to get happy? Is when you give the devil an eviction notice and he leaves, you get real happy. Because he has no joy. Whenever a demon or an evil spirit is in a place, there's no joy. But when he leaves, joy comes. So he preached Christ. There were miracles. Devils were cast out. And the fourth thing that produced joy was people were healed. People who were lame. People who had palsy. There were many. Everybody say many. When you get healed, does it make you happy? Amen. As a result, now, these words, I want to give you the definition of great joy. All right? Can you handle it? Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. Okay, the word great, it is the Greek word poulos. All right? It's a combination. It means abundant. It means much. It means great. It means plenteous. Okay? It means the largest number. It means very large. It means very great. Okay? It means more in quantity, number, or quality. All right? This is from Strong's Concordance. It means above. It means to exceed. It means more excellent. Now, he is using this word before joy. So I'm just giving you an inclination of what kind of joy, to what degree does God want you to have. He wants, if you're going to excess in anything, excess in joy. Overflow in joy, okay? Now the word joy is cheerfulness. Woohoo! Cheerfulness! Give me a J, give me an E, give me an S-U-S. What's it spell? Jesus! I'm cheerful. Right? It means calm delight. It means gladness. It means to be exceeding joyful. It means fullness of joy. So when you put these two words together, the largest number, exceeding joy. If you think you had joy, it's about to increase. It's about to expound. It's about to abound. Okay? Great joy, abundant joy, plenteous joy, too much joy. God wants you so joyful that no one around you could even stand you. He wants so much joy coming out of you because that's a billboard of how good he is. All right? Now, I want to give you some instances where great joy occurred. I'm not going to read all these. So if you want to write down the reference, you can put it up on the screen. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says this. The star which they had seen in the east went before them till they came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they what? How? If you thought there was a limit on joy, you can exceed the limit. God posts signs on heaven's highway. There's no joy limit. It's called joy exceeding. Amen? That means you can rev it up as fast as it can go. All right? We're going to enter the Autobahn of joy. How many know about the Autobahn in Germany? It has no speed limits, right? You can go as fast as you want to go on that road. Okay? They rejoiced with exceeding joy. Because a star showed up at a house? No, it was because who was in the house? Woo! They got really excited. Okay? So, number one, they rejoiced how? Look at your neighbor and say, it's time that you exceed the joy. Say, put the pedal to the metal. And let's excel in joy. Okay? All right? Then, as a result of their joy, they worshiped. Joy will come, but then to keep it going, you got to worship. In other words, you can't sit there like this and expect joy to come to you. You can't look at the Lord and say, go ahead, make my day. Did you know the Lord already made the day? He said, the Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So God already made your day. So he doesn't have to make you happy. You've got to choose to be happy. And when you're full of joy, something happens to your treasures. They get opened up. When you're joyful, you become a giver. Because stinginess is not joyful. Givers are joyful. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That's what Paul said, Jesus said. Right? Okay? So, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Who did the rejoicing? They did. These were the wise men. How many wise men we got here? Wise women. How many are wise here tonight? Wise men rejoice exceedingly. Amen? Woo! Now, I'm not a sanguine, but let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, he can make you a sanguine if he wants you to. Amen? I'm not a sanguine naturally. I'm yielding to that by choice. All right? Let's go to another place where great joy occurred. Luke chapter 2. All right? Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. There were some shepherds out in the field. What were they doing? They were watching sheep. You may think that watching sheep is boring, but not this group of shepherds. God had a special plan for this. He showed up on the job. He brought joy on the job site. Okay? And verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy. When God's joy comes on the scene, it's great, it's amazing, it's awesome, and we lose words to even describe how good it is. Amen? Okay, what do we learn from this passage of Scripture? Number one, God's glory manifested brings joy. What surrounded the shepherds? Glory, light, light from heaven. They had an open connection to heaven, and the glory came. And once the glory came, then came the joy. The glory is God's presence. You believe God is here? You believe His glory is here? Then guess what? With His glory comes joy. Amen? Glory, say this, say glory brings joy. Okay? Then they heard the message of Jesus, which brings joy. I'm going to tell you that Christ the Savior was born. The angels were giving them a message of Jesus, and anytime you talk about Jesus, it produces joy. Why? Because it's a good message. All right? So God's glory manifested joy. The message of Jesus brings joy. Then they said, who is Christ the Lord? The anointed. Christ means the anointed one. Guess what? The anointing brings joy. What's the anointing? It's the power of God. All right? It's like you come in handcuffs, and the one with the key takes those handcuffs off. Your hands were restricted, but now you're free. And you can lift them up. You can move. You know what? It's hard to be bound. But what happens? See, the anointing is the lock opener. The anointing is the cell opener. It opens prisons. It removes bonds. It removes hindrances. The anointing is the power of God. Okay? So the anointing brings joy. And then finally, they began to praise. Other angels came down and they praised. Praise flows out of joy. When you get joy, praising becomes easier when you're full of joy. Amen? Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 and we'll read verses 50 to 53. Luke 24, 50 to 53. He led them as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to... Everybody say now. Say right now. You know when God moves, now comes to pass. Amen? In other words, you don't have to wait to the end of the message to get happy. You can get happy right now. Now it came to pass. All right? And believe you me, if you get happy during this message, it's not going to hinder me a bit. That's just God confirming His word. All right? Now it came to pass while He blessed them that He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with what? They just had an encounter with Jesus. His presence was there, and they saw Him take the elevator ride into heaven. Okay? Here's what we know. Joy comes when the Lord blesses you. Say, I'm blessed. If you're blessed, then you have joy. Say, God has blessed me. Then you have joy. Okay? Joy comes when the Lord blesses you. And joy flows out of worshiping Him, and praise keeps joy flowing. What did He do? He blessed them. They had joy, and then they praised Him. They kept the joy going. Listen, praise and worship stokes the fire of joy. It keeps it burning hot and bright, right? It keeps it crackling. All right? Let's go to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verse 3. What are we talking about? Great joy. Why great joy? Listen, we all need more joy. Amen? There's too many things in this country that could make you sad, but God wants to make you glad. Amen? This country will change, but God won't. Better to look to Him, right? And I would encourage you to vote, right? If you're not registered, go to PA American Family website, and they have resources to help you register. If you're not registered, register to vote and vote. Amen? If you don't vote, then don't complain. I don't want to hear one complaint out of a non-voter. Vote. Do it with joy. Amen? Acts 15:3. Being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles. In other words, they were testifying to the works of God. They were saying what God did to the Gentiles. Oh, can you believe what God did to the Gentiles? He got them filled with the Holy Ghost just like we did. Remember, we were at Cornelius' house and Peter was preaching, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost fell and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were describing what God did for the Gentiles. And they caused what? Great joy to whom? To all. Guess what? There is enough joy to go around. And let me tell you something. When it comes to joy, a little dab will not do you. You need to let God lather it on you. It's like being on the log ride. You know, when you stand on the bridge at Hershey Park, if you've ever been there, they've got that log ride, and when you stand on the bridge, the log ride, when it hits, it goes, it sends a tidal wave. And if you're on the bridge, you get drenched. That's what God wants to do with joy. He wants to fill you so full of joy, every crack and every crevice and every joy. He wants joy oozing out of you. Testifying to the good works of God, bring joy. What kind of joy? Great joy. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. This is the story of the one with the talents. All right? He tells the one, he said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over much." And then what's the next phrase? I can open up the joy door for you, but you've got to choose to walk in it. You've got to choose to enter joy. When? Right now. You've got to make a decision that you're going to enter joy. And when you enter joy, your countenance will change. Your behavior will change. It'll be like someone turned on a light on you. You might even start to glow. Seriously. So you got to choose to enter. What does that mean? You got to release joy by faith. Just like you do speaking in tongues, just like you did when you got born again, right? When you got born again, did God move your mouth? No. He touched your heart. You felt Him calling you and tugging you, and you responded, and you said, "Jesus, come into my heart," some way, shape, or form, right? You invited Him in, and when you invited Him in, He came in. That's what you got to do with joy. You can't sit there and say, "Make me joyful, God." That's not His job. He already provided a way for you, but you got to choose to go on the way. It'd be like if you're on a 10-mile walk, not because you wanted to, but because your car broke down, and someone you know pulls alongside of your ride. "No, I'd rather walk 5 more miles, even though you got 5 blisters on your feet, and you really wish that you could have gotten home a couple hours ago, but you refuse to get in the car." When God sent the provision for you, you got to enter in. Say, "Tonight, I'm going to enter in to joy." Do you know that joy doesn't harm you? joy does the body good. When you are in joy, no burden can stick to you. All right? Great joy. Everybody say great joy. All right, go to John 15. Everybody smile. Why do you have a smile? It's joy practice. Amen? When you smile, you're yielding to joy. But it gets in you and it's going to affect more than your smile. Then you'll go, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. All right, John 15, verse 11. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full." When his joy remains in you, your joy will be to full measure. Okay? Notice, he gives you the joy. He's the source of your joy. Say, Jesus is the source of my joy. Nothing else is going to bring you joy. Money won't bring you joy. It might make you happy, but it won't bring you joy. Right? A relationship won't make you bring you joy. Having the whole world with a fence around it is not going to bring you joy. But Jesus will bring you joy. True joy. Pure joy. Genuine joy. He said, "My joy may remain in you." How does it remain in you? You got to give it permission. Say this with me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I allow your joy to remain in me. Therefore, I'm joyful." Ha, ha, ha. Isn't it interesting that when something's in you, you take it with you wherever you go? And we're going to find out in a moment that God's joy is not based on outward circumstances. All right? I love the New Living Translation of this verse. It says, "I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." Say, it's about time to overflow. Yeah, let it overflow. Don't try to stop it. Don't try to stifle it. Don't try to quiet it. But let the joy flow. Just let it loose. We're amongst family here tonight. You can't embarrass yourself in front of us. We'll love you. Amen. We'll encourage you. God made you a container and a vessel. And he would love to fill you with his joy. He wants to put his joy in you so that it can flow out of you. You notice joy flows out. It flows from within. Right here. It flows from your belly. You know, I've said this before, but my grandmother, my dad's mom, when she would laugh, her whole belly would shake. She would sit in that chair and her belly would shake. A good belly laugh. It comes from within, not from without. It's no different than if you were to go in the back there and get a drink of that fountain. There's water. That fountain is connected to water, right? It's available. Water is available, but you got to push the button. You can't stand there and say, "Water, I command you to come out." Because it's not going to, you're going to be thirsty. But just push the button. All you got to do is push the button and the water comes out and it'll satisfy your thirst. Sometimes God's just got to push the button to bring what's in out. Amen? John 16:24. He said, "Ask and you will receive." Everybody say, "I will receive." He said, "Ask and you will receive that your what? Your joy may be what? So before you asked, it maybe wasn't full. Maybe it was half full. But how many know half full is not full? So you just ask, you can ask God for joy. Say, God, I ask you for your joy in Jesus' name. Thank you for making me joyful. Ha, ha, ha. He, he, he. Oh, you got to go. You got to listen to this one. Go to John chapter 16, verses 20 to 21. John 16, 20 to 21. Notice this. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but what? What's going to happen to your sorrow? God will turn your sorrow into joy. Only Jesus can take your pain and your sorrow and your depression and turn it around. He can turn your sorrow into joy. You may have come in here heavy, you're going to leave light. You may have come in here down, you're going to leave up. He turns your sorrow will be turned to joy. Man, Jesus can turn your sorrow. He's the only one that can turn it around. And oftentimes, the move of the Holy Spirit is associated with joy. Romans 14, 17. Says the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but what is it? It's righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. Say the Holy Ghost. He is full of joy. He is. He is the most hilarious person. Do you know that He created joy? He created our ability to laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Hey, hey, hey. Acts 13, 52, it says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Then there's joy in His presence. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Did you know that God wants to give you a crown of rejoicing? So what happens? He takes a crown. And He puts it on your head. Now, it's a crown of what? Rejoicing. That means now and ongoing. So God takes His crown and He crowns you. And you'd be like, woo! Praise the Lord! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Ha! Woo! And guess what? If you didn't get rejoicing right, the Bible says rejoice. And again I say rejoice. In case you didn't get it right, you can do it again. And you can keep doing it. You ought to be getting joyful in this place. A crown of rejoicing, is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? There is joy and a crown of rejoicing in God's presence. Amen? And did you know that there's strength in joy? Hebrews 12, 2 says, for the joy that was set before Him, He what? He endured the cross. There's a strength with joy. Joy will strengthen your faith. Okay? Now, the last scripture that I wanted to get to tonight. Oh, no, no, no. Two more. One more. Two more scriptures. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. What kind of joy does God want us to have? Great joy. Say, great joy. Say it with some enthusiasm. Great joy! Would you like a sliver of pie or a piece of pie? Amen, a whole pie, yeah. Told you, by the end of this night, you're going to be hungry. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it what? How much joy? When do you count it joy? When you fall into trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Here's what we can learn. Joy is an important component to face trials and pass tests. If you're going to pass the test, you're going to have to do it with some joy. Oh, I barely made it out of that test. That test was a killer. You shouldn't even be talking that way. I'm just talking that way as an example. That's someone who did not use joy to pass the test. Notice you count it joy when you are going through a test or a trial. You count it joy. How long should I count for? Until you have great joy. And you start counting and joy builds. Joy increases, okay? Last scripture. The most powerful scripture. See, you got your seatbelts on? Are you ready to get excited? Are you ready to shout? Are you ready to let joy flow? What kind of joy? Great joy. We don't want none. No, we want great joy, abundant joy, too much joy. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody just bless Him. Oh, Father, we bless You tonight. You are the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless You. Who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us, you and I, again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved for heaven. Guess what? You can use that inheritance now. You don't have to wait to heaven to get it. Okay? Who kept us by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this we what? Greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Verse 7, that in the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory, who having not seen, you love. You can love the invisible. Hallelujah. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you what? Rejoice with what? Joy inexpressible, unexplainable. You got so much joy that you can't even express it. It's like a volcano on the inside of you and it's about to explode. It's like a soda that's been shook up and the cap's about to come off and something's about to come out of the bottle and get everybody sticky and wet. You will rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Here's, you got these points here. I'm almost done. Joy comes from knowing the mercy of God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the living hope which we have in the resurrection. We have a living hope, a hope that is alive. A hope that is vibrant. We have a hope. It's alive. All right? Joy comes from knowing and experiencing and having an incorruptible inheritance that does not fade away. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We can have what He has right now, today. Life? Can you have life? Health? Prosperity? Peace? joy, righteousness, holiness. Yes, we can have that now. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Okay? Third thing we learn from this passage of Scripture. Joy comes from knowing we are kept by the power of God through saving faith. In these truths, we greatly rejoice. See, I rejoice in the truth. See, I've been made free. Satan can't hold me down. He can't stop me. He can't defeat me. He can't win. He's already lost. And I'm going to rejoice all the way to heaven. Now here's where it gets good. Are you ready? Joy comes from receiving a revelation of Jesus. Whoo! In Him, we rejoice greatly with inexpressible joy that is full of glory. What kind of joy is that? That's intoxicating joy. Whoo! That's overwhelming joy. That's ecstasy. Everybody say ecstasy. That means there's no more imperfection of joy because you've got the full dose. Rejoice greatly with inexpressible joy and full of glory. It's abundant joy. It's deep joy. It's glorious joy. It's hilarious joy. It's hilarious joy. Hilarious. It's hilarious. Anytime the devil attempts anything, it's hilarious. It cracks me up. Why? God sits in the heaven and laughs. I'm just going to join His laughter. God's got a belly shaking laugh, right? He's sitting on His throne like this. His belly is shaking. He's cracking up because atheists say that He doesn't exist. That cracks Him up. It's triumphant joy. You know how you're going to win? You're going to win with joy. You're not going to win with drudgery or fear. You're going to win with joy. Triumphant joy. It's the highest degree of joy. When you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full, it's the highest degree of joy. I'm a black belt in joy. Whoo! Hallelujah! Ha! 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 It's the highest degree of joy, and it's fullness of joy. Can you get any more full than fullness? It's fullness of joy. A joy that has reached, this is what one man said, Ellicott, it's a joy that's reached its highest pitch. It's ideal pitch, and it feels no further sense of imperfection. Whoo! That's the kind of joy that you and I can have right now. It's a joy in believing in Him. It is experienced, and it's a joy that's glorious and honorable. It's a joy that we don't need to be ashamed of. We can have hilarious joy without shame. We don't have to be uncomfortable about being overjoyful. Oh, you got too much joy. Praise the Lord, man. Hallelujah. Thank you. You can't have too much joy. Listen, joy is not going to hurt you. It's not going to make your head explode. But I guarantee you that when you're in joy, you will not feel any pressure of any problem whatsoever. Any pressure that's associated with a problem will just fall off of you. It'll be like me trying to bounce. If I threw a rubber ball against that wall, the ball would bounce back. That's what burdens do when they hit joy. They bounce back. They don't stick. They don't stick to you. That means you keep your freedom. Hallelujah. It's joy on account of the glory of God. So now the question is, if you want the joy, you can have it. But you got to yield. So Father, in Jesus' name, we give you thanks and praise. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. You came from heaven to earth. You saved us. You bought us. You purchased us with your blood. And you have given us joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now you just express that joy in the name of Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Oh, you just express the joy however you want to express it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! He's full of joy! Full of joy! Joy inexpressible!